with editing by Colleen MacDonald and Brian Middleton, writing and research by Pamela Wirth. The show is hosted by me, Colleen MacDonald. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Brian David at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase nationally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Colleen MacDonald from the Got Science podcast in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. Thanks for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the International New Year's Eve Ball with Awolo Lugomba on Friday, December 31st from 8 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. at the Pier Space Annex, featuring guest DJs playing Zouk, Afrobeat, and more. Again, that's the International New Year's Eve Ball with Awolo Lugomba on Friday, December 31st from 8 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. at the Pier Space Annex, 1315 Northwest Overton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different states in the U.S. Today on Arab Voices, we will listen to a conversation with Elias Daes titled Holy Land Trust, where he talked about Palestinian Christians, population in occupied Palestine and around the world, Christian Zionism, role of Christians in the West, and how Christian Zionism affects Palestinian Christians in occupied Palestine, and much more. We will also air the question and answer session that followed his talk. Elias Daes is the executive director of the Holy Land Trust, which is a nonprofit Palestinian organization committed to fostering peace, justice, and understanding in the Holy Land. This talk was organized by the Jerusalem Fund in Washington, D.C., and was held on December 14th, 2021. Let's listen in, and the voice you will hear first is that of Ruqayya Swedan with the Jerusalem Fund.
Today, we have a very special event planned for you here at the Jerusalem Fund. We will be joined today by a very esteemed guest, Elias Daes, the director of the Holy Land Trust in Bethlehem in Palestine, a Palestinian NGO rooted and focused on nonviolent resistance and peaceful understanding and activism. Elias Daes was born into a Christian family with a long history of nonviolent resistance and existence in Palestine. And throughout his formative years, he had learned about, in his Christian upbringing, loving thy neighbor, a lesson that he takes after from his family and continues in his work today. And moderating our event is a member of our Palestine Center committee, Saeed Arakat, a longtime writer and analyst for various newspapers and a adjunct professor at the American University. We are also very honored that this event is being taken place just 10 days before Christmas, Holy Christian Holiday. So a happy holidays from us at the Jerusalem Fund to all those who celebrate. And we will begin now.
Thank you, Ruqayya. I am honored to be part of this event with you. This is our first time together doing an event like this. I am also honored to be moderating this session with Elias. Welcome. And we look forward to continued relations and so on, and exchange of ideas and thoughts and information about what's going on to the a great Christian Palestinian community and the adversities they face every day. So without further ado, I want to go to you, Elias. So please go ahead.
Thank you, yeah. Thank you, Jerusalem Fund, and thank you for giving me this chance and opportunity to share and to talk about the Palestinian Christians and what we are facing now on a daily basis. So first, my name is Elias, which comes from the Prophet Elijah. Like, it's the Arabic version of the Prophet Elijah, yes. So I am an Arab Palestinian Christian, and this is actually sometimes confusing most of my American friends. How come you're an Arab Palestinian and Christian? I am Arab by culture. I was born in the Middle East. I belong to one of the Arabic countries, and my culture is an Arabic culture, and my mother tongue is an Arabic language. This is why I identify myself as an Arab. I am a Palestinian by nation, by identity. I was born in Palestine. I have the Palestinian identity, and I am Christian by faith. So this is just to make it clear that not all the Arabs are Muslims. There is an Arab Christian, there's an Arab Jew, there's an Arab Druze, there's several committee. And I was born to a Christian family, and the Christians of the land, of the Holy Land, have deep roots in the land back to the first Christians 2000 years ago. So we are actually belong to the first Christians who converted from Judaism in that time and paganism to Christianity by one of the disciples of Jesus, or by Jesus himself. The Christian of the land been going through several persecutions during the Roman and by the Roman and the Jewish time, which actually allowed, made them fly and actually spread all over the world from the first centuries of Christianity. So now we are actually spread around the Middle East, and they established their own churches in different places until the Christianity became the official religion in the Roman Emperor in the 7th century. Today, unfortunately, the Palestinian Christians are only around 1% who are living in West Bank and Gaza. We are around 50,000 Palestinian Christians living in the West Bank and Gaza. We have around 125,000 Palestinian Christians living in the State of Israel, in Israel in 1948, which is around 14% of the Israeli population. And we have around 40,000 Palestinian Christians all over the world. They are spread in the Latin America and the US, which is around 6% of the Palestinian population worldwide. So now the Christian Palestinian who live in the West Bank and Gaza, they are in very, very good connection and relationship with the Palestinian Christians in Israel, who lives in Haifa, Nazareth, Akko, and several villages around. There's a lot of, marriages between Palestinian Christians from the West Bank and Israel. But unfortunately, this is one of the main challenges that Palestinian Christians who live in the West Bank cannot move and live with his wife or her husband in Jerusalem or Haifa because there is no family reunification by the state of Israel. There is a lot of discrimination. Like if you are a Palestinian Christian from Nazareth and you got married with a Palestinian Christian in the West Bank, you will never get a family reunification. Like one of you has to sacrifice. Like, but basically, at the end, the Palestinian Christian from Israel, they will ended up moving to the West Bank because this is the easiest way. Otherwise, vice versa cannot happen. Like Palestinian from the West Bank moved to Haifa or Nazareth. So there is actually a lot of connection, and actually now in the Christmas season and in the holidays, there is a lot of cooperation and connection between churches. We're very well connected as a community, as a minority in the land. In 1948 as well, there is a lot of Christians became a refugees. 35% of the Christians in Palestine became a refugees in 1948, and they spread like to Syria, Lebanon, Jordan. And now many of the Christians are leaving. It's not because of the persecution. It's not because of the, you know, Muslims are killing and the Christians there. It's because of the social, economical character of the Christian families there. Most of the Christians there, they are looking for, you know, a better life out of this conflict area in Israel and Palestine. And it's actually the Christians, they are more likely candidates for immigration because of also the relationship between the Christians in the West and the churches and the Christians in the land, that the Christian can easily get an invitation from someone or some churches or some NGOs in Europe and get a visa to travel. And so it's actually more, I don't want to say it's easy, but there are more candidates for immigration for Christian countries, like now Sweden. A lot of Christians are moving to Sweden in Europe. But as a Christian there, as a Palestinian Christian, we are living in the same life as the Muslim under the Israeli military occupation. There is no difference between Christians and Muslim under the Israeli military occupation. The Israeli cannot distinguish between Muslims and Christians in their daily apartheid system. And today I want to just highlight, since we are, you're an American-based organization and we have a lot of American audiences, I would like to highlight about the Christian Zionism and the role of the Christians in the West and how the Christian Zionism is affecting the Palestinian Christians who are living in the West Bank and Gaza. The Christian Zionism actually was established, was actually supporting the establishment of the State of Israel. Because the Christians, like Israel has been supported by the Christians of the US, mainly the Christian Zionism and the Evangelical Christians, because they believe that God gave the land to the Jewish people and continue to give this land for them. And some Christians are active in translating their conviction about the land into action by supporting the modern state of Israel. But for some Christians, and we are as a Christian and Palestinian, we are very concerned about the peace and justice in this significant issue. Because what is actually the effect of the Christian Zionism on Palestinian? The Christian Zionism, they use the scriptures to deny the Palestinian their right to their ancestral homeland. The Christian Zionism gives generous and political and economical support to Israel to expel the Palestinian, including the Palestinian Christians, because actually they are interpreting the Old Testament and connecting it with what's Israel today. Like they believe that Israel today is fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament and that God gave this land for the Jewish people only. But actually, what are the Christian Zionism is affecting the Palestinian Christian and the Christianity in general? Like the Christian Zionism position are very extreme and very embarrassed for the Christian everywhere, because I will explain later why. But the Christian Zionism, they support the state of Israel in all ways, like in military and in money, in a way to make sure that the state of Israel exists, because they believe that Israel is fulfilling, as I say, the prophecy of the Old Testament, and that one day all the Jewish people should return to their homeland in a way to wait to receive or to wait the second coming of Jesus. But we, as a Christian Palestinian, and actually the Christian in themselves, we do not agree with that. Because if you believe in the New Testament, and if you believe in the coming of Jesus, and if you believe that Jesus already come, then all the Old Testament prophecies has been fulfilled. Like, do the Old Testament prophecies relating to the land in the Old Testament continues to have significant in the New Testament? Like for example, we are talking about in the Old Testament prophecy. In the Old Testament, it was talking about the nation, which is Israel, that the nation, they got the promised land, which is the state of Israel, or like the promised land. And in the New Testament, when Jesus came, he fulfilled the prophecy, and the nation become all the believers. Like, we are the nation now, the Christians, the believers of Jesus, we are the nations. And Jesus gave us an alternative theology, which is like, we are not looking for a promised land, which is a physical land or physical state. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And this is what we believe in, that we, as a Christian, we should not support a state, a physical land, to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. We already got the answer by Jesus. He said, the kingdom of heaven. My kingdom is not from here. My kingdom is from the heaven. And for the temple now, many Christian Zionism, they support the state of Israel, and they are fostering the establishment of the temple in Jerusalem, because they want all the Jewish to come and worship God, and also the Christian Zionism to come and worship God in Jerusalem by building the temple. But through the new covenant and then the new testament, Jesus said, like, your hearts, the heart of the believers is your temple. If you want to pray, go to your room, lock the door, and pray. This is your temple. Like, and Jesus was predicting that the temple will be destroyed in 3 days. Like, he can destroy the temple in 3 days. Like, Jesus was not looking for a physical building to have to worship him. He said, your heart and the heart of the believers is our temple. And in the Old Testament, we were talking about, you know, the state of Israel, that they have the priesthood, that they come from the Levi tribe. But now our priesthood, we don't need a priesthood like in the new covenant, because Jesus is our priest, and Jesus is, and all our believers, and we do not need a temple to give sacrifice, as in the Old Testament, like, all the Jewish must come and give sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. Now Jesus, after he was crucified, he was the sacrifice for all Christians. So what I'm trying to say, that all the prophecies about Israel in the Old Testament was fulfilled 100% by Jesus, when Jesus came. And the Christians believe that, like, yeah, Jesus actually fulfilled all prophecies, and we do not need to have a physical political state, existing state, to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament in a way that Jesus will come after that. And this is what's happening here in the US, that many of the Christians, they are supporting the state of Israel just because they want, because of the Old Testament. And they do not think, if you just think for a moment, that what Jesus did, he's already done everything for the, like he done all the prophecies of the Old Testament. So the Israel today is not Israel of the Old Testament. And what Israel is doing today, it has nothing to do with the Old Testament prophecies. And there is a lot of misunderstanding, like since the new covenant is not based on the possession of the land or on the territory or a particular city or a temple or animal sacrifice, the claims of the Christian Zionism are void from the new covenant perspective. The Christian Zionism attempts to influence people to return to the old covenant, which Christ and his apostles liberated us from 2000 years ago. So this is the alternative story, and this is the position of the Christian Zion, the Christian of the land, the Palestinian Christians, that we see Israel as a political, pure political apartheid state and has nothing to do with the state of Israel. And this is actually what was my confusion as a Palestinian Christian, going to the church every Sunday and reading the Old Testament and praying for Israel. Because in the Old Testament, it's all about Israel. Like, God bless those who bless Israel. It was sometimes confusing me when I go back home. Okay, why we pray for our enemy? Why we pray for those who are actually killing us every day? And then I got to understand that Israel today is not the same Israel in the Bible. And what Israel in the Bible is already fulfilled by the coming of Jesus 2000 years ago. And we as a Palestinian Christian, I said, like, we always, like, yeah, see that the Christian in worldwide, they are playing a very negative role in by supporting Israel and neglecting the right of the Palestinian Christian and the Palestinian who live under the Israeli occupation. Our role must be pro-justice, pro-peace. This is what Christianity is about, to love your neighbor, love your enemy. And what does it mean to love your enemy? Like, to love your enemy is just to put yourself in the shoes of your enemy and to understand the pain and the feeling of your enemy, in a way to go together in a healing and transformation process. So for me as a Palestinian, I was born and raised in Beit Sahur, like in a town just 1 mile east of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And all my experiences as a childhood was witnessing the Israeli military soldiers wearing the kippah and, you know, speaking Hebrew. They are the Jewish people. And for me, it was confusing, like, those are the Jewish people who are actually carrying these weapons and arresting my father and, you know, killing my friends and occupying our land, but in the same time going to the church and read the Psalms and, you know, it's all about Israel and God bless Israel. And so this was actually the confusion in my life. And then I got to know that the only way I know the Jewish people is through the military form. This is how I know the Jewish people. I never, as a child, I have never met a Jewish person away from the military form. So what Israel is doing today is misusing and misrepresenting the Judaism teaching. Like, and what Israel is doing today is, as I said, is like they are doing things that is actually against what their Bible is saying and what their teaching is about. And then I found out that there is many Jewish all over the world that they are pro-justice, they are pro-peace, and I got to meet many Jewish people later in my life that they have nothing to do with the state of Israel. So many of the Jewish voices, they are saying, like, occupation is not my Judaism and Israel is not our Judaism. So this is something that we need to think about, like, is Israel today is the same Israel in the Bible? And we are connecting, you know, they're trying to connect that Israel has the full right to occupy and to take the land because this was given by God. But it was given by God by in a conditional, like with conditions. It's not unconditional. Like if you read the Bible and to see how God gave the land for the Jewish people, to, like, you know, in the Old Testament, there was conditions that you do this, you do that, like you do it right. But then later on, after Jesus came, it was already fulfilled. Like, yeah, we don't need, you know, to have a physical land. So this is where we stand as a Christian now. The Christian community in Israel and Palestine, or in the Holy Land, let's call it, they are working and they are always taking like the peace mediators, and they always involved in non-violence and peace work. They are trying to promote, you know, like what Christianity is about by loving your neighbor and by, you know, be just. The Palestinian Christians in my town in 1987, in the beginning of the first Intifada, I don't know if you know, the Intifada is like the first uprising that took place right. in 1987 by Palestinian against the Israeli military, and it was called the civil disobedience, that many Palestinians starting to disobey the military orders. And Beit Sahur, which is the largest Christian community in the land, they were the leading community in nonviolence. And they adopted like the nonviolence techniques by boycotting the Israeli products. And I remember that very well. I was 8-9 years old. And they refused to pay tax for the Israeli military. And they say no taxation without representation. And that, my community was the leading community in the nonviolence resistance in the first Intifada in Palestine. And those who refused to pay tax, like my father and other people in my community, they refused to pay tax for the Israeli government. And in return, the Israeli government, they come and confiscated all your belongings, your furnitures, your workshops. I mean, everything that you have, they just come and confiscate it as a collective punishment, in a way to force you to pay the tax. And also one of the nonviolence means that happened in that time, that there is the Palestinian in my town, they burned their IDs, because we used to have an Israeli, you know, second citizen IDs, like the West Bank IDs, before the Palestinian Authority come to the West Bank. We used to have like the orange color ID. The Israeli used to have the blue color ID. So the Palestinian decided to burn their IDs, and they said no taxation without representation. Like, we need a civil equal rights. And this is actually the role of the Christians in that time, that they've been trying to play by promoting the nonviolence in the Palestinian community. In the same time, we as a Christian, we are trying to reach out into the Christians all over the world, in Europe and America, in a way to educate them and tell them what's really happening on the ground. Because what you see in the media is totally different than reality on the ground. And this is our role as a Christian to reach to the international community and share our voice as a Palestinian. And there is a lot of actually campaigns and things on the ground, like the right to resist and the right to exist. Many of the Palestinian, they owns land in Area C, which is like under the Israeli military control, and they are trying to resist by existing there and keeping their land not to be confiscated by the Israeli settlers. And many of these cases by Palestinian Christians, they are trying to protect their land and not to be taken by the Israeli settlers. So there is a lot of actually the role of the Palestinian Christians now in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is more into peace building, nonviolence, providing humanitarian aid. A lot of Christian organizations are providing a lot of support for the refugees, refugee camps in Palestine and outside. They provide healthcare. many of the Christian organizations in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, they provide like free health care for families. Doesn't matter if you're Christian or Muslim. No, never. Like they never ask about your religion. They provide also financial aids. They provide, you know, food parcels for families, poor families. A lot of services that been provided by Christian organization or church-based organization in the West Bank and Gaza.
What you just heard was a talk by Elias Dias, Executive Director of the Holy Land Trust, speaking at an event titled Holy Land Trust, organized by the Jerusalem Fund in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. There was a question and answer session that followed Elias Dias' talk, moderated by Saeed Ariqat, member of the Palestine Center Committee and a longtime writer and analyst for the Palestinian newspaper Al-Quds. Let's listen in to the question and answer session.
I wanted to begin just by having you clarify the numbers for me. You said there is like 50,000 Christians in the West Bank, and then you have like 120,000, that's what you said, in Palestine occupied in 1948. And then we have maybe, what are the other numbers? By the way, I am from Abadie, which is very close to Beit Sahur.
Yeah, like around 50,000 living in the West Bank and Gaza, 125,000 in the occupied Palestine, like Jerusalem and Nazareth, Haifa. And then there's around 500,000, like 400,000 are all over, like worldwide, like in Latin America and U.S.
Excellent. So how many Christians remain in Gaza? And I know that every year the Israeli occupation prevent them from celebrating Christmas, prevent them from going to Jerusalem. They are, you know, under siege like everybody else. Now we have this new iron wall that has encircled Gaza, which makes it, you know, a lot harder for that community. So let's begin with the numbers and tell us on how they connect with other Palestinian Christians, be it in the West Bank or be it an area occupied in 1948.
Yeah, like there's only, I believe, like not more than 500 Palestinian.
5,000.
Thousands, yeah, like around 1,000 in Gaza, and they've been in the previous year they've been prevented by not allowed to visit Jerusalem and Bethlehem during the Christmas. But just I heard in the news like 2 days ago that they are giving a few hundred permits for Gaza Christian to enter to come to Christian. To the Christmas in Bethlehem. I'm just checking it, like, yeah, now it's 500 permits only.
So they're giving 500 Palestinian Christians the right to go to Bethlehem, which is a Palestinian town, and Jerusalem, the old city, which is also an occupied Palestinian territory and so on. They are prevented from doing, you know, the rituals, the things that Christians and good Christians do during Christmas, correct?
Yeah, and even like the Christian in Gaza, they are not allowed, you know, they need to get permit in a way to cross to Bethlehem, and they are only get permit only for Bethlehem. They are not allowed to go anywhere else.
They are not allowed to go to Jerusalem.
Not to Jerusalem, yeah. And also for the Christians in the West Bank, we get permit twice a year. Like for me as a Palestinian Christian, I only get permit twice a year, but not guaranteed. They give it randomly. You know, I am part of a church. The church, they send the list of the members to the what is called the Israeli Military Coordination Office, and they issue permits for Easter and Christmas. So for the Christmas, they give us around 3 to 4 weeks permit to enter Jerusalem, and in Easter they give us the same, like for 3-4 weeks, and they give it randomly. Like if the church sent a list of 1,000 member, they might give it to 500 randomly. So sometime I get permit, my parents they don't. Sometime my parents get, and so there's no system. It just They're doing it randomly, and we are not allowed to go to Jerusalem anytime. I remember when I was, before Oslo, before the peace agreement, before the pieces agreement. Yeah, we were allowed to travel by our own cars from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Like in 20-30 minutes, you'll be there in the old city, and we go light candles in the Holy Sepulchre Church, buy our vegetables from the market, and go back home every Sunday. But since Oslo, we are not allowed to go to Jerusalem, even by, we are not allowed to drive our cars outside of the West Bank to go to Jerusalem. You need to get a permit. You need to go through Israeli military checkpoints. You need to be checked and scanned. And you need to have, special, not only permit, but a special card stating that you are a clear person, that you are not part of any terror organization. And you need to pay for that card that is issued by the Israeli military, like 150 shekel, around like $40. You have to issue it by the Israeli military, and in a way that allow you to apply for a permit.
It's a day's wages, one day wages, okay.
And imagine, it's business. Like, occupation is actually money generating for Israel. Like, everything you do there, they're making
money. Everywhere.
Right. Yeah. But I'm trying to say, like, we, the Christians in the West Bank, we totally lost the connection with our holy sites in Jerusalem and in Sea of Galilee. Like, if I look at the young generation, like their 20s and 18s, they have nothing. They have no idea what the Holy Sepulchre Church looks like. They have no idea what is Capernaum or Mount of Beatitude, where Jesus spent his ministry, looks like. Like, we are totally disconnected from our holy sites as a Christians and also as a Muslim. Like, Muslim, they have no access at all to Jerusalem. They are not allowed to go and pray every Friday. So it's actually, what Israel is doing is a pure apartheid system, that it's only if you are a Jew, you have the full access to do whatever you want.
You mentioned something that says for you, it's you have to have a permit, and you can't go to Jerusalem as you please. You have twice a year you can go, during Easter, during Christmas. What about Palestinian Christians who are in the old city of Jerusalem? Could they go to Bethlehem at any time because they have like a Jerusalem ID card?
Yeah, those Christians who live in the occupied Palestinian areas, like in the occupied Palestine 1948, Jerusalem, Nazareth, as an Arab citizen of Israel, they are allowed to come to the West Bank according to the Oslo Agreement. The Israeli Jew are not allowed to come and cross the checkpoint to the other side of the West Bank. And you can see these red signs at the entrance of the Palestinian area, which says this road leads you to Area A, which is under the Palestinian Authority. It's dangerous for Israeli citizens to get in. So Israeli Jews are not allowed to come to the West Bank, but Israeli Arabs, they are allowed.
Okay, that leads me to my second question, because we are a bit confused on the issue of reunification. You mentioned that there are 50,000 Palestinian Christians in the West Bank and Gaza, 120,000 roughly in Palestine occupied in 1948. They are, on occasion, they get introduced to one another, they get married and so on. If the person from the 1948 area wants to move to the West Bank, they could conceivably do that, but not the other way around. Under what pretext? What is the reason given? What is the church, whether it's the papacy or the international churches and so on, what are they doing about this in terms of pressuring the occupation state of Israel to relent on this issue?
Yeah, at the end, we are all Palestinian. It doesn't matter, Christian or Muslim. So they treat us as a Palestinian without, and actually the purpose of that they don't want to increase the Palestinian population within the state of Israel. So that's why they are not actually giving permits or resident cards for those who get married from the West Bank to a Palestinian Christian in Israel. For example, my niece, she's married to a Jerusalemite Christian. She's from Bethlehem, he's from Jerusalem. He can come to the West Bank, but she cannot go to Jerusalem. So they have now two homes. Like right. He needs to be registered as a citizen of Jerusalem, because the Jerusalemite, they have different case. You know, if you are a Jerusalemite,
different status,
you might lose your residency if you don't prove that you are living in Jerusalem. So this is actually, if you're a Jerusalemite and you got married with a West Bank woman, a Christian, you have no choice. You either lose your ID as a Jerusalem ID and move to the West Bank and just become and live with no ID, no ID status, like you be identity.
Without identity,
Or you have to prove that you are living in Jerusalem. So what most of the Christian they are doing, they are having two homes. One in Jerusalem, registered, paying tax, and proving that for the government that they are living in Jerusalem, and opening another house or renting another house in the West Bank for their wives and for their family. So they are actually living in Bethlehem, but they are having something to prove that they are still citizen in Jerusalem. And this is what's the case. It's financially, it's too much for a family to have two homes rent in Jerusalem and the West Bank. But at the end, you know, they have to be together. The family need to be together. So the best choice is to rent a house in the West Bank where the Jerusalemite can come and spend the time with their family, and in the same time keeping their identity as a Jerusalemite. Because there is no other option. Like the Israel is not giving family reunification permits. It's a long process, and if you succeed to get that, you only get a permit, not a citizenship. So they don't, give you a resident card.
In the event that you have a Palestinian woman or man from Gaza marrying a Palestinian man or a woman in the West Bank, does that ever happen? Is there any way for the Gazans to move to the West Bank and vice versa?
I think this needs like a miracle to happen.
Right. Okay. So that is
possible. Yeah. I know some Christians, but from Gaza, they are married, and they are living in the West Bank illegally. You know, they come by getting permit for Easter or Christmas Christmas. They just stay in the West Bank after their permit expire, and they become illegally staying in the West Bank because they want to stay with their family.
I want to ask you, because you mentioned something that the Palestinians, that's at least what I perceive you to say, Palestinians are encouraged, or it's made easy for them to Palestinian Christians to immigrate, to go to Europe, to go to Sweden, as you mentioned. Sweden, much effort ongoing now to do that. What about the other way around? Are there efforts, because I know there are organizations in the United States that are also trying to make Palestinian Christians go back, and resettle in their own hometowns and neighborhoods and so on. So, by all means, if you can respond to this issue.
There is a lot of initiatives and efforts that is happening by the Palestinian Christians in the West Bank, encouraging Palestinian Christians from all over from the world to come and invest. I will give an example. For example, in my town, Beit Sahur, the largest Christian community in the Holy Land, in Israel and Palestine, I can say. We are around 80 to 9,000 Christians living there. And we have a huge family members are living in the state, in the U.S., in here in Michigan area mainly. So what we did, we created a foundation called Beit Sahur USA. It's a way to connect the Christian from my town in the U.S. with the Christians in Beit Sahur itself, and to, connect and also to bring the people together. Because many of them, they've been in the U.S. since 30 or 20 years, and they never been back, and they never been to Beit Sahur since then. So we are trying now to connect with the Beit Sahur USA through, several activities and conferences on Zoom, and encouraging them to come and invest. And we are sharing with them a lot of ideas for projects to come and invest and come back to Beit Sahur. And it's really, I think, going well since like 2 years now. There's many of those who are in the US, they are coming back to Beit Sahur, opening their businesses, and also, you know, creating jobs for Palestinians in the West Bank, and just to trying to bring them back to their town. And I think this is one of the initiatives that we are having, which is, I see it's going well. And at least if they are not coming back to live for good, at least they have something in the in Palestine that they can come for 3-4 months a year. So yeah, this is what we are trying to do as a Palestinian Christians in Palestine, to invite, like, yeah, invite or get the Christian back from the exile, from the diaspora.
Well, we have many questions on the issue of Christian Zionists and so on. I know you stated, or you laid out or explained how it even goes back to the creation of the State of Israel. I remember, you know, reading a great deal about revivalists at the time. They used to call them revivalists, and that would go around and actually, you know, support this kind of dogma, which is a political dogma. Of course, I mean, people know that Christian Zionists believe that Israel must control all of Palestine, all of the Palestinians must be gone for Jesus, peace be upon him, comes, you know, returns, and then he would give the Jews a choice to convert or burn in hell. You know, that's what that is the whole notion. So the question that we have, you know, what kind, you know, what is a good way to reach out, in your view? And you probably have done this because you spoke about this in the beginning of your presentation, to reach out to Christian Zionists and you know, those who believe in the New Covenant and so on, and their, to engage them on their view of Scripture.
Yeah, so we have, as an organization, Holy Land Trust, we have been doing this in the last 20 years and reaching out to the Christian evangelical churches in the U.S. by in the speaking tours, by coming to their churches and share about a Palestinian Christian perspective and voices, and how our how we see the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and where is our theology. And at the end, we tell them, okay, this is your own belief. If you want to support Israel, okay, it's your choice, but you have to consider that there is another people are suffering from this. Like, there's a Palestinian Christians and Muslim, they are rooted, they have roots in this land along with the Jewish people. Like, we cannot deny the right of the Jewish people in the land, you know, since thousands of years, but we are against any political statement or any political state that actually discriminate and isolate and the Palestinian Christians and Muslim from their right. So we understand the right of the Jewish people to come and pray and do their, you know, rituals and, I mean, traditions in Jerusalem. But in the same time, we want to see the Muslims going every Friday without fear, without hate, without, you know, violence to the mosque, to the dome, to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And in the same time, the Christians, they have to go freely to there. So freedom of worship is the main issues that we are fighting for, without discrimination. You do your belief, you do your things. It doesn't matter. You're Jew, you're Christian, you're Buddhist. The land was given to Abraham and his children, and we are the children of Abraham. But we are against supporting a political state based on apartheid system. And this is what Israel today is doing. It's a pure apartheid system that is giving the full right for the Jew and ignoring the right of the Christians and the Muslim and other communities like the Druze, the Samaritan, the Baha'i, all these small communities that exist in Palestine. They don't have the same right as the Jew.
As you explained, Israel of the Bible is entirely different than Israel of today. Israel of today serves a whole different purpose altogether. Some of the worst anti Semite on earth, like, you know, Balfour, who is famously authored the Balfour Declaration, and so on. He was an anti-Semitic person who advocated for the creation of Israel and so on. The evangelicals today, many of them feel that way. There's a knee-jerk reaction and loathsome anti-Semitism within these circles and so on. So we know the Zionist idea is a colonial idea. It seeks to establish supremacy and authority at the expense of the Palestinian people in this case. I want to ask you how you can go about organizing the Palestinian Christian community. Do you have, let's say, differences? Are there any kind of religious divisions and so on among Palestinian Christians that we see among other Christians at the rest of the world? How do they deal with their daily, with the daily adversities that they face?
Yeah, you mean as a Palestinian, like
right.
Christians different from other churches?
Yes, no, I mean, you have like Christians, like every Christians everywhere, they have different denominations and so on. So how united are Palestinian Christians? Does the national issue or the issue of dealing with occupation is the overriding one?
Yeah, look, no, there is actually a unity. As a minority now, we have, Palestinian Christians are united in the churches. Yeah, we have a lot of denominations. We have Christian Catholics, Orthodox, we have Presbyterians, we have Baptists, right. But they are at the end. There is no division. Like there is no, we have no, we have the Kairos. I don't know if you heard about the Kairos initiative, which is actually adopted from the Kairos South Africa model. Mm-hmm. That is actually a coalition of all churches in Palestine that they are calling to separate the state from religion and use and promoting nonviolence and to call to stop the apartheid system in Israel and in Palestine. So there is a lot of work that is happening between churches together to fight for justice and peace and for the right of the Palestinian as one. So there is no division, there is nothing there is no division between the churches.
I wanted to ask you about some controversy regarding land or property selling and so on by certain accusedly so by certain churches and so on. Could you explain this issue to us if you are aware of this issue?
Do you have another hour to talk about?
Very briefly, we would love to, but unfortunately we don't.
Actually, I just talk very briefly about it. So and this is actually happening mainly in the Greek Orthodox churches.
Okay.
I am Greek Orthodox. I belong to the Greek Orthodox Church, and we don't have an Arab leadership in the church. It's all Greek leadership. Okay. Our patriarch must be Greek, or our spiritual leaders in the churches are Greeks. And the Greek churches, they own around 25% of the historical Palestine. And this is related to the Ottoman period, that many of the Christians, they registered their land under the church in a way not to lose their land, and because the Ottomans used to charge a very high tax for the land properties. So many of the Christians, they registered their land under the church. So that's why the Greek Orthodox Church now, they own around 25% of the historical Palestine. And unfortunately, the church leaders are leasing the land or selling the land to, some
profit. They're doing exactly.
Like, I'm really sad to say that, but the Knesset, the parliament building in Jerusalem is built on a Greek Orthodox Church land. It was leased for 99 years for money making. Many of our properties are being leased by the church leader. And now there is kind of, I don't want to say revolution, but there is a lot of voices among the Greek Orthodox Church, especially young people, are fighting against the leadership in a way not to sell this land or lease it, because it's our land, it's our ancestors' land, and you have no right to sell it or to lease it for any purpose. And now there is like a group of youth are very active in the Greek Orthodox Church. They are against the system of the leadership. They are trying to fight, I mean, and to change the policy and to change the law. But at the end, it's politics, you know. It's all politics. It's nothing to do with the church. You know, there's a lot of, you know, politics behind that agreements with the church leaders, between Israel and the church leaders, for money benefits or for any other purposes. But I want to say that there is something going on the ground. There is something is happening among the church community on that issue. And we are not happy. We are against this system. We are against these policies, and we are doing our best to stop it.
Excellent. I'm going to combine the last questions together. It's regarding support. Are you getting any kind of support as a Holy Land Trust Fund? Are you getting any support, let's say, from Christian churches, from U.S. and Europe? And second, what influence, if any, is there, you know, from historically established churches like the Orthodox Church, the Roman Church, the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Protestant Church, and so on, in your view?
Yeah, I think the other part of the question, like what is their role or what is...
Yeah, he said, it says, what influence, if any, is there from historically established churches like the Orthodox Church, the Roman Church, the Catholic Church, that exerted on the Palestinian Christian community?
Yeah. So the first part, actually, yeah, we are receiving, like, you know, some we are a donation-based organization, so we are getting some funds for our projects through some churches in the U.S., like Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian churches. They come through Holy Land Trust to, and they implement projects in the Palestinian community. And for the other part, actually, what influence the churches are doing, I think, away from the Greek Orthodox issue of leasing the land, I know, as the church role now, trying to raise awareness among the international community through their networks, like the Presbyterian, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Lutheran. They are using their connection with the European churches in Europe and also with the Americans in a way to educate and raise awareness about the Palestinian issue and to make a change among the Christians all over about the Palestinian right and about the Palestinian cause and how can we end the occupation together. So their role is actually more in influencing and changing the perspective worldwide among Christians and to stop the Christian Zionism, perspectives. So, and also in internally, as I said before, like this is internationally that they are trying to raise awareness and connect with churches, but internally they are doing a lot of humanitarian support for the community. Each church has its own, organization or schools or universities that they are providing services for the Palestinian community on a daily basis, as I said, for medical, financial aid, healthcare, all kind of services for the Palestinian community. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or Muslim, like Bethlehem Bible College, like the Caritas Baby Hospital, like Augusta Victoria Hospital in Jerusalem. They are providing a really amazing healthcare for Palestinians from the West Bank and Gaza. There is a lot of, medical and health services, most of it for free for certain cases, supported by the Christian organization.
What you just heard was the question and answer session that followed the talk by Elias Dais, Executive Director of the Holy Land Trust, speaking at an event titled Holy Land Trust, organized by the Jerusalem Fund in Washington, D.C., and was held on December 14, 2021. For more information about the Jerusalem Fund, visit www.thejerusalemfund.org. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.
No man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO Portland, no compromise in defense of the truth.
Tune into The Metal Margin, fourth Thursdays from 3 to 5:30 a.m. to hear women and people of color represented in metal.